God damn it, Charlotte. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, indeed. Family Home Evenings, in fact.
With Bad Mormons.
I am, as Mandy said earlier, Charlotte.
I'm Joe Rogan.
No, you're not. You're better than that.
I know. Fuck that guy. And you're here listening to our podcast because we tell you stories that make you laugh.
Right? Usually they involve us getting drunk and doing something stupid. And being bad in general at being Mormon.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for our family home evening tonight. I've prepared you some puppy poops.
That sounds delightful. What, pray tell, is a puppy poop?
It's a no-bake cookie with chocolate chips and oatmeal. Okay. And you don't bake it. You just, I forget the recipe, but it's actually really fucking good. It's like peanut butter, chocolate, oatmeal.
You said pumpkin earlier.
Well, that was a different one. Then I was like, oh, puppy poops.
Oh. Tell me about the pumpkin oatmeal chocolate chip.
That's all I remember is pumpkin oatmeal chocolate chip cookies that fucking ruled.
How was the pumpkin, though? You're not putting raw pumpkin in there, right?
Canned pumpkin.
Oh. This is why I don't cook.
I don't know if that's a Mormon thing, but I remember it from being Mormon. But the puppy poops were weirder, but also very delicious.
Right. Is it kind of like the... I might be making this up, but we should try it. It's marshmallow wrapped in a Pillsbury dough. I don't know. That's as far as I got with my brain.
You just made that up.
I did just make it up. I wonder if it's gross or delicious. Yeah. I know that I'm thinking of something similar to that, but it just is escaping me.
ambrosia salad, maybe? That's Maraschino cherries, little mini marshmallows, Cool Whip. Wet. Mandarin orange slices.
Mandarin orange slices. Yeah. No, that's gross too.
Yeah, Mormons eat weird food. But I love it.
The one we like to make fun of the most is green jello with carrots on top. Or
no,
in it.
Inside.
Oh, inside of it.
However, here, we haven't actually told you guys this, listener, but in our family, in our Mormon family, we mixed it up a little. We didn't do the shredded carrots. We did
a full carrot.
We did a stapler and a full hot dog and a can of sardines. No, we did a can of pineapple and a container of cottage cheese, which gave it a very lumpy, gelatinous, sweet and salty, strange consistency that somehow is comforting to me as I ate that sustenance as a child.
It's fucking weird. Cheers.
Cheers to drinking wine instead of eating cottage cheese jello pineapple.
All cheers to that, in fact. It's not the best bottle of wine, and I apologize.
Can't win them all.
Right?
Will it get me drunk?
Sure will. Great. I know, because I was talking to our sister Laurie earlier, and she suggested that I pound my wine. So then I filmed myself pounding the wine, and she laughed and said, okay, I wasn't being serious, but that'll do.
And now on to the show.
I'd like to do a quick shout-out to our patrons.
Fuck yeah.
You guys are fucking rad. And you know what? Really shout-out to all of our listeners. The one listener. You are amazing.
Listener, thank you so much for continuing to listen to our show.
But seriously, you're all fucking cool as shit.
Do you have anything to repent for?
I'm sure I do, but as usual, I did no research or remember or wrote down what I thought last time. I was like, you know what? I should probably repent for that, but didn't write it down.
Yeah, I think I'm good. Nothing's really jumping out at me that requires immediate apologizing.
I mean, I kind of want to apologize because I feel like I've been low energy the last couple episodes, but I've just been slammed and like just, you know, end of day, want to go to bed kind of a thing. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm back. Pound this wine, and we'll go do a podcast.
Should we do some cocaine and then see what a podcast looks like on cocaine?
I'm not going to say we didn't already try that one and failed miserably.
Moving on to Mormon Corner.
I'm going to go ahead and repent for that already.
I would like to read the chapter that I just discovered in the book called Woman.
Oh, good. We're back to the nine dudes.
There's at least... 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 gentlemen have written this book called Woman. And I'm going to read you a little something. I was like, I bet there's some more gems in here. Oh my God. It's actually very sort of triggering to me because I'm like, no wonder I'm so fucked up as an adult. This one's called To the Elect Women. of the Kingdom of God, written by President Ezra Taft Benson. I'm going to skip over it a little bit and just get to right to the good stuff.
Fabulous.
In the beginning, God placed a woman in a companion role with the priesthood. The gods counseled and said that, quote, it was not good that a man should be alone. Wherefore, I will make an help meet for him. I don't understand. It's old-timey
words. It's from the rib. She's from the rib.
If it were only man's loneliness, which, with which God was concerned, he might have provided other companionship, but he provided woman, the title of the book, for she was to be man's helpmeet. That's one word. Helpmeet.
Oh, can I get a tattoo of that?
Maybe. Let me finish first. She was to act in partnership with him. Okay? This pronouncement that it was not good for man to be alone declared a fundamental truth. The Lord God gave woman a different personality and temperament than man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By nature, woman is charitable and benevolent, while man is striving and competitive. Man is at his best when complemented by a good woman's natural influence. She tempers the home and marriage relationship with her compassionate and loving influence. Yes, it is not good for a man to be alone because a righteous woman complements what may be lacking in a man's natural personality and disposition. Nowhere is this complementary association more ideally portrayed than in the eternal marriage of our first parents, Adam and Eve.
Because we're all from incest, right? That we're getting from that.
Mm-hmm. Boring.
I'm also
boring.
Getting this is why we're going to die alone.
Well, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I firmly believe that I was not put here on this earth to do some of the things I'm about to read to you.
To be helpmeet?
To be a helpmeet.
I'm going to get a tramp stamp that's in Old English that's called helpmeet.
It kind of sounds like meat cute, only creepy.
I just had a really great idea.
What?
I think we should buy those temporary tattoo ink things that Facebook keeps trying to get me to buy, and we can actually give ourselves some horrible Mormon tattoos because we know they'll be gone, and we could do a photo shoot.
That'd be great.
Right?
And our lucky patrons could get some, too.
Brilliant idea!
Perfect. All right, and the tattoos will say this. Well, let's just say that they read some scriptures, and then they're like, from this record, this scriptures that we just read, we see that Adam and Eve provide us with an ideal example of a covenant marriage relationship. They labored together. They had children together. They prayed together. They taught their children the gospel together. This is the pattern God would have all righteous men and women imitate. But in the world today...
And this was in the 70s, right?
That's a good question.
90% sure it's like 78.
1979.
Ah, so close.
Mm-hmm. In the world today, there are observed strenuous efforts to distort and desecrate this divine pattern. We hear much talk, even among some of our own sisters, about so-called, quote, alternative lifestyles for women. It is maintained that some women are better suited for careers than for marriage and motherhood, or that a combination of both family and career is not inimical to either. I don't know what that word means. Inimical. Some have even been so bold as to suggest the church move away from the, quote, Mormon woman stereotype of homemaking and rearing children. God grant that dangerous philosophy will never take root among our Latter-day Saint women! Exclamation point. Now, listen. The church recognizes that not all women in the church will have the opportunity for marriage and motherhood in mortality. Of necessity, some of our sisters have had to choose careers as a means for their own livelihood and in some instances to provide for their families. But we do not encourage our young women to enter careers as a lifelong objective, nor as an alternative to marriage and family.
Mother.
There is a godly and noble reason for this counsel. You were not created to be the same as men. Your natural attributes, affections, and personalities are entirely different from those of a man. They consist of faithfulness, benevolence, and kindness, and charity. They give you the personality of a woman. They also balance the more aggressive and competitive nature of a man. Can you fucking believe this shit? Oh, wait, no, listen, it actually gets better. This isn't even the part I underlined yet.
I was going to say, I highlight all of that, I'm sending it to Mother, and she'll be like, see, Charlotte, this is why I won't get a job.
It's actually really a good, really good point. But listen to this, Charlotte. The business world is a competitive and sometimes ruthless place. We do not doubt that women have both the brain power and the skills, and in some instances, superior abilities to compete with men. But by competing, they must, of necessity, become aggressive and competitive. Thus, their godly attributes are diminished, and they acquire a quality of sameness with man.
And fuck that is what Brigham Young or whoever the fuck wrote this.
Ezra Taft Benson.
Yes.
Then he goes on to give some fake letters. I just recently received a letter from a sister who blah, 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 made up story.
I felt so bad for her.
Made up story, made up story.
One day she'll find a man.
Listen to how a woman is to use her attributes and nature to compliment a man. This is a charitable society, and according to your natures, it is natural for females to have feelings of charity and benevolence. You are now placed in a situation where you can act according to those sympathies which God has planted in your bosoms.
Mm-hmm.
These are supposedly sent in from, you know, readers or, people or whatever. Here's another one. You need not be teasing your husbands because of their deeds, but let the weight of your innocence, kindness, and affection be felt, which is more mighty than a millstone hung about the neck, not war, not jangle, not contradiction nor dispute, but meekness, love, and purity. These are the things that should magnify you in the eyes of all good men.
I threw up in my butt.
Listen to this. Let this society teach women how to behave towards their husbands, to treat them with mildness and affection. When a man is borne down with trouble, when he's perplexed with care and difficulty, if he can meet a smile instead of an argument or a murmur, if he can meet with mildness, it will calm down his soul and soothe his feelings. When the mind is going to despair, it needs a solace of affection and kindness. When you go home, never give a cross or unkind word to your husbands, but let kindness, charity, and love crown your works henceforward. Don't envy the finery and fleeting show of sinners. That's us.
Yeah.
For they are in a miserable situation.
I didn't know I was miserable, but now I gotta rethink about it. Am I miserable?
But as far as you can, have mercy on them. For in a short time, God will destroy them.
Oh my God, did you say that?
If they will not repent and turn to him.
Sinners.
Yeah, so anyway.
I'm just wondering how many families read this. I mean, I'm just thinking of Mother and Jeff, and I'm just like, I kind of see where some things might have come from. Not that they're right or okay by any means. They're both fucked up, but yeah.
Yeah.
What a fucking douchebag. And all of them are fucking douchebags to try and peddle that bullshit.
Well, I mean, how crazy is that? Like, you are meek and mild and smile and...
If your husband comes home and he's a fucking douchebag, just smile. It'll ease his tensions. Fuck yourself. How about that?
Oh, Lord.
Charlotte just got triggered.
When I was reading that, I was like, this is why.
This is why I'll never get married. I won't have any children. And you know what?
You can't tell me what to do.
The Lord of Latter-day Saints. I don't know. Is that a thing? I need to pound more wine. But the Lord of Latter-day Saints can suck my beehole.
Suck it hard.
God, what a douche. Well... Thanks, Mormon Corner. You've enraged me.
I was going to say, we could talk about cool shit, or we could just continue to be enraged and talk about what's on Twitter.
What's on Twitter? Because I know I'm going to fucking hate it.
All right, this is what's on Twitter. A Native American woman, 21 years old, in Oklahoma, is convicted of manslaughter over a miscarriage.
That is so fucked up.
Uh-huh. It's so fucked up. The kind of, like, big picture and the reason why it was able to be prosecuted is because they're saying... Because she admitted to doing meth and smoking pot during her pregnancy. And so they're trying to claim that the fetus was killed because of that, which is...
We know there's plenty of crack babies out there.
Yeah, but listen, that's not even why the... That was just sort of, like, circumstantial evidence. Right. That wasn't why... The charge and the sentence was delivered the way that they were. Did I mention she got 4 years in prison?
No.
Yeah, 4 years in prison for basically this. She miscarried a fetus at 17 weeks.
That's nothing.
I know.
Exactly. Did she even know she was pregnant? How does anybody know she was even pregnant?
Exactly. Well, so Here, I'm going to read you from...
Jesus Christ.
From the Oxygen True Crime Network. Actually, before I start at the beginning, I'm just going to skip down. There's an interesting little piece in the middle of the article that will get you even more mad.
Oh, good.
So in April of this year, however many months ago that was, 6 months ago, Oklahoma's governor signed 3 bills that will effectively eliminate all abortion access in the state, including a ban on any abortions after 6 weeks gestational age, just like Texas. These new laws are scheduled to take effect in November, so in a couple weeks. So they haven't right. taken effect yet. They were signed into law in April,
right.
but that shit's about to be coming. They're claiming that those laws don't have anything to do with this woman's case. But anyways, I thought that was important to just kind of put that right. in there as well. So here's the sitch. Brittany Paula, I don't know how to say her name, Paula, 21 years old, was convicted of second-degree manslaughter by a Comanche County jury on October 5th for the death of her fetus that had a gestational age of 15 to 17 weeks. She was charged in the case on March 16th, 2020, after a miscarriage that occurred on January 4th, 2020. Obstetricians determine gestational ages based on the date of a woman's last period prior to getting pregnant, so before the date of conception. Then it goes on to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court determined with Roe versus Wade in 1973 that legal viability is after the 28th gestational week, when a fetus survival is generally above 90%. But medical viability is pegged at 25 to 26 weeks when the fetus has more than a 50% chance of surviving outside the womb. So even then, medically, 25 to 26 weeks, she was well under that at 15 right. weeks, right? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention define a fetus as stillborn if it's delivered after 20 weeks gestational age, and anything before 20 weeks has always been medically considered a miscarriage.
Right.
So there's that, right? What happened was she was 19 years old at the time, 19 years old. She had a miscarriage at home. She went to the hospital. The umbilical cord, they could see an umbilical cord attached to the fetus. She admitted to the medical staff that she'd used meth and marijuana while she'd been pregnant, which, you know, whatever, may or may not have caused the miscarriage.
Right.
But it doesn't actually fucking matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, she hadn't decided if she was going to continue the pregnancy. She still had plenty of time to make that decision.
Right.
So then this article says, technically speaking, Oklahoma state law did not criminalize women for miscarriages, stillbirths, or other fetal harm for which prosecutors felt the woman was at fault. Okay. Until September of 2020, when the state Supreme Court ruled that despite the state's child neglect and homicide laws making no references to fetuses, the laws nonetheless encompassed a viable fetus whose mother used drugs.
Well, and this just goes to show, too, like, banning abortions doesn't stop abortions. It stops safe abortions, right? Mm-hmm. And so now when people read this, it's not going to stop people from using drugs when they haven't even decided whether they want to have a fucking abortion or not. Mm-hmm. It's going to stop people from going and getting medical treatment afterwards,
mm-hmm.
which is going to cause people to die. So this is never a war on fucking saving babies. It's fucking a war on women, and so fucking annoying.
Exactly. Well, get this. So a medical examiner, they did an autopsy on the fetus that was miscarried, and they did find the developing liver and brain, so they were still developing in the fetus, obviously, they tested positive for methamphetamine and another drug, but they also found evidence of a congenital abnormality, placental abruption, and chorioamnionitis. The medical examiner did not specifically name the congenital abnormality, but basically the fetus wasn't going to survive anyway.
Right.
Whether or not that had to do with the drugs or anything else could not be determined, and the medical examiners actually were testifying on behalf of the girl, saying, you know, there's a wide range of abnormalities of body structure or function, some of which can be incompatible with fetal viability. And then they go on to, like, explain what those conditions that I couldn't pronounce
right.
are all about, which I'm not going to read because it's a little dry, but...
That's fucked up. So how did this happen then? Like, who do we write? Which judge do we demand get fired? Like, what the fuck?
I know, exactly. It's unfucking believable. And it's simply because...
Oklahoma.
Yeah. And she's native.
That's where I'm thinking, mm-hmm. too. I was like, if there was some white woman...
Mm-hmm. Well, so this was a jury trial for this girl.
Seriously?
Yeah, and so the jury convicted her in under 3 hours.
Of course they did.
Simply because...
I wonder what ethnicity all the people on the jury was.
Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, so that's on Twitter.
Thanks for pissing me off.
You're welcome. I could talk. We could backtrack and talk about some cool shit if you want.
Let's do it.
Bring it back down.
let's flip the script.
I have an update for you.
Is it the Matt Gaetz thing? I know you said it earlier. Now I can't wait. I thought it was going to be something I'd hate, but if it's under cool shit, game on.
It's an update on Matt Gaetz. This is on Twitter. It was tweeted by Tristan Snell. He says, and I quote, "Update on Matt Gaetz. His buddy Joel Greenberg has had so much dirt that prosecutors have opened up entire new wings of their case. Excellent. The investigation into financial crimes now includes help from the Secret Service agents. There's something huge here."
Excellent.
This was 2 days ago on Twitter, so this will be about, I don't know, old news by the time this airs. It'll be 5 days old or so.
I know that it takes time for all this shit to, like, you know, evidence to be gathered and yada yada, but, like, God, I just wish this would go faster.
Yeah.
All of it. The Steve Bannon thing, the Trump thing, the fucking Matt Gaetz, and there's so much more.
Yeah, he goes on, or another person actually, Jed the Wolf, goes on to kind of clarify a little bit because somebody was asking, like, I don't understand what this means. And he says the case needs to be built, or mostly built, before the charges are filed because once discovery begins, the government has to disclose all of its evidence.
Right.
It can tip off co-conspirators if they don't have all the evidence nailed down before the charges are filed.
Oh, nice.
So.
Well, that's pretty.
That's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah, fuck Matt Gaetz.
Fuck Matt Gaetz. Piece of shit. You know what else is cool? Cryptocurrency. I only just started looking into it. One of my clients was telling me, he's like, you need to get in on this, girl. And I'm like, okay. So I threw $500 at it last night, and I'm already like $50 up.
Nice.
Right? I know nothing about it except for that I'm like, well, my money's doing nothing in the savings account. Let's throw it around. See what happens.
I took some of my money and I bet it on a football game and I lost.
Me too. Remember when I said I'm going to bet against you because it'll be funny? I should have. Mm-hmm. I would have been a big winner.
Mm-hmm. Well, you always, you know, don't make the bets you should have made. I don't know, but still, go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Woo! I bought. So, for someone who doesn't wear baseball hats, I now have three. I've got my color line that I like to wear around the beach to make other people jealous. And then I've got my Alkaline Trio hat because we went to an Alkaline Trio show. And then we decided to put money on a Seahawks game, so might as well buy some Seahawks merch. It didn't help our cause, though, because they still fucking lost.
It was actually kind of a fun game, though. We're not sports people.
No, and it made it a lot more interesting once there was money on it.
Yeah, when there was money, there was outfits. We were we were walking around the bar and the casinos with our executive genius creative director, Courtney.
Yep, and we got to yell at other people that had Hawks gear on, go Hawks!
Yeah, there's an amazing, like, I think it's a subculture. Actually, it turns out I'm the subculture. There's an amazing, I guess, regular, normal culture of people that are super into fucking sports, and they see each other wearing sports teams, and they, like, yell at each other and talk to each other and give each other signs, and it's amazing to me, like, how many random people, like, said stuff to me when I was walking around with the Seahawks jersey on. It was kind of fun. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I would have liked it a lot more if I won.
Well, yeah, of course. But anyways, so, yeah. Go bet on crypto. Don't bet on sports in Vegas.
Well, they're not all going to be winners, and there's a bunch of different crypto out there. I did what she told me to bet on, and then I saw this one random one that I read three lines about. I'm like, you're cheap. I'm just going to buy you and hope that you, because the more shares you own of something, and if it gets big, then you make a lot of money. So, like, Bitcoin is just way too expensive. It's like $63,000 for one coin or one share or whatever you want to call it. And then there's this ETH. And that's $4,300. And I'm like, so I could buy a fraction of a share? And I was like, fuck that. That's not going to get me any money. So I did some, it was Chainlink. And then I have 17 shares. So I was like, woo, cool, thanks for the money. And then I can't remember the other thing I bet on. But I did see as I was scrolling down that, can't remember his name, but he's all over Twitter and all over Facebook, and he's that old guy with a white beard who has, like, a whiteboard up, and he spells out democracy for people. He's awesome.
Okay.
He was just saying that 10% of the wealthiest Americans own 89% of all U.S. stocks, and how is that a fair representation of the U.S. economy?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, that's really fucked up. And just from what, and I know the whole GameStop thing is kind of a joke or whatever, but it was never that GameStop was worth money. We've talked about this before, but that it's really a bet against the hedge funds. But seeing what's happened over the course of the year, just how they don't play by the same rules and they're not getting investigated when they need to be, and they keep, you know, naked shorting things, which just means they're manipulating the market. It's like, oh, I wouldn't put money in the market anymore. It's unreliable. And I think that's why crypto might actually be a real thing, because I wouldn't be surprised if our whole stock market thing just crumbles, because it literally is so corrupt at this point.
Do you want to take a minute and look up the guy's name?
Yeah. Robert Reich. The guy's name is Robert Reich, R-E-I-C-H.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah, that guy's rad. When Trump got elected, he started doing Facebook Live videos a lot, and I was just like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's right about everything.
I've got one more thing for cool shit.
Yes.
You and I and Courtney, as we mentioned, just went to Vegas, where I discovered Omega Mart.
Omega Mart is fucking rad. Dude.
Omega Mart. Listen, holy shit.
I was hungover. Oh, yeah. Take a drink. I said, listen. Like, I'm going to remind everybody when they need to drink for the drinking game. Don't drink if you're driving. So, I was hungover. I just kind of wanted to get on the road and go home. And you really wanted to go to Omega Mart. And I'm like, fine, let's go. And I was like, $50. Like, seriously? And I debated sitting out while you went in. But I was like, it's $50, just go in. You wasted it on Seahawks, what's another 50? And so we go in, and I was kind of like, eh, this is kind of cool, blah, blah, blah. And then it got super cool, and it's worth every penny we paid for it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't want to give any spoilers, because I think you should walk into it not knowing anything about it.
Right.
But what I will tell you is, so the company is called Meow Wolf, if you want to look them up. They started in Santa Fe, yeah, New Mexico, and kind of what it is it's like an art installation piece that's interactive, and there's like a story and a mission involved with it. And so they had that first one, and then I think they
built kind of like an escape room a little bit, but not really.
Yeah, and then they built one in Denver, and then now there's this one in Vegas, and then there's another one somewhere else that I can't remember off the top of my head. But this one in Vegas called Omega Mart, I'm just going to give you like the bare rundown, because you should really go into it not knowing anything. It's basically like you're walking into a grocery store that's really fucked up, and it's got all kinds of fucked up products on the shelf.
Right? It's amazing.
Which you can buy. And the grocery store is owned by an evil corporation.
Right.
Which very much resonates with my soul. But, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. You plan to go for at least three hours.
Minimum three.
We did three, and we barely scratched the surface.
Again, I was hungover. But, like, I didn't want to leave, but there was so many people there, and it was just like,
yeah,
we had to get going. But yeah, I'm so glad that I didn't try to wait out, because I would be like, what on earth are they doing in there for that long?
Yeah. Like, yeah, wear comfy clothes that are stretchy and flexible.
Don't wear open-toed shoes.
Yeah, wear closed-toed shoes.
And if you can leave your purses and shit in the car, just do it.
Yeah, because there might be points where you're going to want to get on your hands and knees and crawl.
Right, or you might want to slide down something, and they won't let you go if you have open-toed shoes.
So that's all we're going
to
say.
But we liked it so well that when we go back to Las Vegas, we will be going again.
Absolutely, yeah. I highly, highly recommend it. And, you know, it might be fun a little bit drunk or a little bit high.
100% drunk and high.
Definitely on acid. If that's your jam, do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I could do hallucinogens in there, because I'd lose my shit.
Here's the moral of the story. Get a little fucked up, but don't get so fucked up that you can't function and that you won't have a good time.
Don't get so fucked up that you'll be obnoxious to other people either. Because that would suck. They will kick you out.
Anyways, Omega Mart. Do
it. Definitely worth it. Do you want to hear a word from our sponsors? Is it time for that? Or do we have anything else?
I would love to hear a word from our sponsors.
Me too.
Wives 3 and 5 have you in the doghouse? Wives 2 and 4 experiencing Shark Week in their garments? Wife 1 just looking so much like, old wife number 1? Have we got the solution for you? Why not give Prophets of Porno Polygamy Chatline a call? It's a choose-your-own-adventure here on Pop's Chatline. You select the number of wives you want to chat with, sit back, and let the fun begin. When one of your pop wives just isn't cutting the casserole, Push the number on your touch-tone telephone to switch over to your next dream wife. Best part? None of the wives on the Profits for Porno chat line are over 14. No nagging, and anything goes. The Profits of Porno chat line costs a nominal 11% tithing of your monthly income. But keep in mind, the more money you make, the more the babies bake. So call us now at 1-888-4-MORONI. That number again is 1-888-466-7664. Profits of Porno is part of Heavenly Father's plan in 4 states.
We're back!
Welcome back to the show.
It's story time, people.
Yeah, it is.
We're both looking at each other like, did you prepare a story? No, did you prepare a story?
We can talk about going to Las Vegas.
No, here. Let me tell you guys, here's the real deal. Here's the real story. We were in Las Vegas. We tried to record a podcast, and we were... So fucked up.
But I don't actually remember recording it. So.
I just deleted it. Oh, I didn't even listen to it. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We were in Vegas.
We had just lost the Seahawks game.
There was a lot of emotions. Actually, that was kind of a fun game too, because it went into overtime and it was, anyway, we had a lot of fun. So we were drinking a lot. Anyways, I'm just going to recap you the story that we tried to tell.
Oh, perfect.
In that story? Yeah, in that podcast that will never be heard by anyone because it has officially been deleted. So, I was, you know, it's always fun to get together with Courtney.
Always.
Because Courtney and I were, like, you know, BFFs for 25 years, like, living together, roommates, hetero life partners together.
In fact, yeah.
And so I was like, do you remember this story about blah, blah, blah? And she's like, oh, do you remember this about the story? And I was like, what? So this basically, here's the story. I'll try to tell you as it flowed in the previous iteration that we have now deleted. So I was asking her, do you remember these guys that used to work at Little Caesars with Tammy? And... they would work on our cars. She's like, yes, of course I remember those people. And because I think we had told a story in a couple episodes back about one of the situations about these guys working on cars. Have I talked about this at all?
They're not the guys who wore the grandma clothes to drive RVs, right?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. These guys are sketchy ass crackheads.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Maybe I haven't told you about them.
I don't think so.
So we're poor. We're very poor. Right. We're young. I have a Volkswagen van that my brother Casey had given me. And this whole time in my head, I've been thinking that he gave me three different vans. Because I had the first rent van. They were 71 Volkswagen buses. I had that one that was painted red with Milo from the Descendants on the side of it, which I loved. And then I traded. He took that one back, gave me a different one, which we painted. Same year, 71 Volkswagen van. We painted all the Alice in Wonderland stuff around it.
I remember that one.
And then I had a white camper van, which I also thought Casey gave to me, because in my head, apparently, I just blocked out the memory of what truly happened, which I will get to. So anyways, we're poor. My brother's giving me these old vans. You know, we don't have a lot of money. We're living in houses with a whole bunch of roommates. You know, we're young. We're in our early 20s. And so Tammy's working with these guys. Tammy and Donnie are working with these guys at Little Caesars. And they work on cars. So we're like, great. You know, and I could do like a few little things to my engines myself. Like I remember doing my own timing and I would have the book out and I would like mark the crankshaft with nail polish, stuff like that. And I felt so cool that I could like do my own shit. But you know, when shit really happened, like I needed to take it in to get fixed. And so I took it in for something. And then shortly afterwards, I was driving down, I want to say it was Woburn Street in Bellingham, and it's where the Barclay Village Hagen is now.
Okay.
And there's a movie theater there now, too, but none of that was there back in the day. Well, the Hagen was there.
Right.
And I'm hitting the brakes to stop at a light, and the car's not stopping at all. It's not making a dent. Like, the brakes are gone. It's not doing anything. It's, like, pedal to the floor.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck? And so I pulled the emergency brake. Nothing. And there was a... two cars stopped. There's two lanes, right?
Right.
So there's a car stopped in either lane at the red light, and I have nothing to do. I'm going down a hill.
Right.
Not a steep hill, but a downgrade.
Right.
And so I'm going to hit one of the two of them. And off to the right side, there's kind of like a sidewalk and a light post and a tree and an open field after that. And so I somehow, I go off to the side, I jump the curb, I go right between the light post and the tree and flip the steering wheel so my back end goes out, and I coast into that parking lot, and just like fucking Too Fast, Too Furious, except for in slow motion, I just glide into a parking spot and I throw that thing in gear and I take the key out and it stops because it's in gear. And it just comes to a stop, like, perfectly in a parking space. It was unfucking real. Now, in retrospect, I have a feeling those guys fucked with the car. Right. So that I would have to come back, because it didn't make any sense how it was just... There was no grinding of the brakes. It didn't get worse and worse. It was just like the brakes were gone.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know shit about cars. And so, I call these guys up. I'm like, you just fixed my car. I need help. I don't have any brakes. Oh, yeah, we'll take care of you. We'll come get it for you. They tow the car. Oh, I forgot to mention, too. The first time they fixed my car, for whatever it was, I had just gotten these big speakers. They were real shitty, I'm sure. Like, terrible speakers. And I had a tape deck in the car. But I was so excited to be able to listen to my Jane's Addiction while I was driving. Like, to listen to music while I was driving in the car was such a big deal. Yeah, I made it. I was an adult. And so I had for whatever I had taken it in for, I went back to pick it up. And they're like, oh, I don't know what happened. Somebody stole your speakers out of the car. I'm really sorry.
That's fucked.
I know. And I was like, fuck. And then I take the car. The brakes go out. So I call them in. I know.
Wow. You're smart.
Charlotte's shaking her head at me. Well, they were cheap, and I didn't have any money, and I didn't know anybody, and I couldn't just take it to, like, a regular place, because that would have been hundreds of dollars or whatever.
Right.
So, I take it, I call these guys, they tow it, they pick it up, they tow
what
it, they take it back.
I mean, Volkswagens are, like, fucking tinfoil.
I know, dude. Tell me about it. It was very traumatic at the time.
Piece of shit.
And I don't know for sure if they
did. I'm riled up, I'm going to kill somebody, I'll get you.
Yeah, I don't know for sure if they did that, but it kind of seems like they did.
Yeah. They don't just go out.
Right.
They wear out.
Right.
Right.
So anyway, they pick up the car. They have it for a couple days. I go to pick it up, and they're like, okay, so it's going to cost some exorbitant amount of money to replace your brakes and all this stuff. And this part, actually, I had forgotten about. In my brain, I was just like, they fixed the brakes. And then Casey was like, you shouldn't be driving that car, and gave me a new van, and we traded again. Courtney reminded me that, no, that's not at all what happened.
Okay.
And she's like, yeah, do you remember those guys taking the VIN, swapping the VIN numbers on your car and giving you a different car with your old VIN number? And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I told you not to do it. I told you that's how people go to prison, and that's fucking crazy. And I was like, I fucking switched VIN numbers on a car? She's like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God.
That's how you paid for it?
What the fuck was wrong with me? Well, no, this is what happened.
Okay.
So I go to pick up the car. They're saying it's going to cost a ton of money to fix. However, here we have this great deal for you. What we can do for you is, we have this old van just sitting out here. There's no engine in it, but it's perfectly good body, and it just seems like it's such a waste to sit out here and go to waste. And you're such a nice person, and we know you don't have a lot of money, and it's so much better than your van. If you want, we'll just swap vans for you. We'll just give you that van. We'll take your engine out and everything, and we'll put it in that van, and then we'll just switch the VIN numbers. And it'll be like you have a whole new van, and you won't even have to do any paperwork with, anybody, or you have the same license plate. And for whatever fucking goddamn reason, I'm going to blame drugs and alcohol. I was just like, that's a great idea. Sure. All I can think is, I'm getting a free camper van with a pop top and a sink. And it's this, like, totally tricked out van. And I was like, fuck yeah. So I was like, sure. And then, of course, that turned into, after everything was all said and done, and I was super stoked to pick up my new van, that they were just going to do out of the kindness of their heart, of course, because they didn't want, they felt so bad about the brakes or whatever. Oh, now you're going to have to give us $600, which, of course, I'm sure I ended up doing, but I didn't remember any of that stuff.
Also, they were expecting you to crash your van so that you could be like, oh, wow, your whole body's demolished. Let me switch this out for you.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah. But at the time, I had no clue at all. I was just completely naive and...
So dumb.
Innocent. I'm like, sure, switch my VIN numbers. That sounds great.
So what happened to that van?
I have no idea. Somebody was probably fucking murdered in it or something. I don't know.
Jesus. Well, what happened to the pop-up van? Did you give it to Casey? Like, what... happened to your van?
Did it get totaled? No, I honestly can't remember. I think I gave it back to Casey. We'll have to ask him. But the car I had after that was, Courtney was driving a red Honda Civic, and she had gotten a new car, and so I bought her old car that I drove for a while before I moved to San Francisco.
That's right. I remember that.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't think I sold the van or anything. I think I would have given it back to Casey, but we'll have to ask him. We'll have a follow-up repentance Perfect. For that story.
Perfect. Well, let's write it down.
Yeah, my memory is not what it used to be. What happened to the van? To the murder van.
Ask Casey. Perfect.
So yeah, I hope the statute of limitations has passed for me fucking breaking the
Usually
law.
Usually 10 years on most things, but
yeah, that's
murder,
a good one.
On the other hand,
I didn't murder anybody. I just might have been an accessory to some of the bad shit, not intentionally.
So don't get your car worked on by crackheads, and don't switch out VIN numbers. Okay, noted.
Never switch out VIN numbers. Never. It's illegal.
Yeah.
So illegal, and I had an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, and I should have listened to my angel, but
who's
I
got
didn't.
The face of Courtney?
Yes. And the devil had the face of all the shit I wanted that I couldn't afford.
I was expecting car. You'd get your speakers back. I'm sad by this story.
No, I never got my speakers back.
Were there speakers or tape deck in the new bug?
Yes.
Or bus?
Yeah, there were.
All right, I'll allow it.
That bus was actually super cool. It had the... we went camping in it a few different times. It had the pop top, so you could pop it up, and then there was a cot up there, so you could climb up there and
that's
sleep.
Cool, yeah.
And then it had another bed in the back, and it had a sink, and you could fold out the thing for the table. It was actually super cool.
I'm sure they just stole it.
Yeah. It only would go, like, 35 miles an hour, but it was fun.
That's ridiculous.
We took it up to Blanchard Mountain quite a few times and had bonfires and took acid. Oh, that reminds me of another podcast story for another time. Blanchard Mountain.
I don't think that I would... I'm trying to think of whether I would switch a VIN number. Like, when I trashed my car in Baker... Well, I didn't. Just... I needed new tires, and it ripped out all my electrical. I don't know that I would. I don't think I would.
Well, you're smarter than me.
I was also older. Was I?
I don't know.
I wasn't.
You're just smarter.
I have my moments. I think I'm also just completely wary of people. I'm just like, I don't trust you. I don't trust any of you people.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have any older siblings to make the mistakes for me.
That's very true.
I had to learn it all on my own.
Aw, you're a champion.
We should call this story Little Caesar's Hot Car Lot.
I like it. I'll allow it. Perfect.
Do you have any stories, or should we just be excellent to each other?
Should probably just be excellent to each other. I have to get on a plane to Dallas tomorrow.
Listen, this is what I wrote down. I actually wrote down something prepared for how to be excellent to each other. Vote fucking Democrat. It's not ideal. It's not the best, but it's better than Republicans. And right now, as of this very moment, Republicans are actively passing laws to overturn elections through voter nullification. There are zero Republicans in Congress who support voting rights, and every single Senate Republican has voted against debating the right to vote. Every single one of them. There's not a single Republican in the Senate right now that wants to even have a conversation about voting rights.
That's so fucked up.
So even if you are a Republican, for fuck's sake...
Well, I think, like you said, with these abortion things and, like, Trump, even we had a bunch of Republicans that said, no, we don't want to vote for you because that's not what we stand for. I don't think any of the Republicans are what we stand for. And frankly, there's some liberals that I don't stand with either. Like, swear to God, libertarian seems to be more and more the way to go. But until there's an actual third-party system happening... vote Democrat, because it's the lesser of two goddamn evils.
Yeah, even if you're a Republican, not that any Republicans would be listening to us at this point, because we've made it the four R's. However, don't you want your vote to be counted?
Right.
Like,
because it's just cheating moving forward.
Right.
That's not democracy. That's bullshit.
Yeah. So anyways, fuck Republicans, fuck racists, fuck religion, and fuck Tiffany's neighbor, Ron. And while you're at it, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review?
It really helps people find us.
thanks to our friends who've given us reviews lately. We got a little boost in the algorithm. Check out our website if you haven't checked it out yet. We've got cool stuff on there.
If you feel like throwing some cash our direction to become a patron, we throw presents back your way.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, we're on all the social medias.
LinkedIn.
MySpace, Tumblr,
Facebook,
and lastly, check out our YouTube channel. We're looking for subscribers, we're looking for likes, and we're looking for
all the shares. Share with your friends, especially if you think they'll hate it, because then we'll get more reviews.
See you next week.
Bye.